You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear-related on DVDverdict.com. On this week's episode, Steve plays some Future Soldier, John plays some Lollipop Chainsaw, and Kev plays with himself, by himself, on his iPad. Episode 28, the only thing safe in the woods is the trees.
Hello, and welcome to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video game, gadget, and gear-related on DVDverdict.com. I am your host this week, Kevin Woolridge, and with me, as always, is Steve Power.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Mr. John Mercer.
I think this is the first episode since the very first episode that we've managed to get through the official podcast of without it becoming an official mess.
But that's part of my manifesto. Part of my modus operandi.
We're bringing some class back to Blast Process.
Kevin just curb stomped your shit.
How dare you, sir?
So, gentlemen, what have we been playing this week? Well, the last 2 weeks. It's been a while.
Yeah, I guess the last. Yeah, we took a week off.
Yep, we did.
It was easy.
Well, I relocated.
And you relocated. We must not forget that.
That's right. I am far and away.
This is how we roll on Blast Processing. Not only do we take a week off when we feel like it, but we take the busiest video game week of the year off.
The biggest video game news week of the year.
Yeah, some of us were too busy watching press conferences.
True, true that.
One of us was too busy watching press conferences. One of us is unemployed.
Oh. And it's not me for once.
What the hell is up with that? Let's start with you, Kev. What have you been playing?
What have I been playing? Well, I'll be honest with you. I haven't touched my PlayStation. I've been playing mostly iOS games.
You've been playing musical director of the Grand Bank Theater Festival.
Yeah, and in between, grabbing my iPad and doing a little bit of gaming here and there.
Nice. Shit, man, rhythm games are so passe now.
We're not talking about rhythm games. I did finish Corpse Craft, which was a lot of fun, I gotta say. John, I think you dig it for some reason. I don't know why.
Explain it to me.
It is an RTS, like a static RTS, you know, where you're just sending troops to the other side of the board, essentially. But it's all done in like an Edward Gorey kind of...
Oh, yes, yes. No, we were speaking about this one before. I remember
we talked about this last week. Or two weeks ago. Anyway, I finally finished that one. It was a lot of fun. What else have I been playing? I started playing this game called Monsters Ate My Condo, which is a hilarious puzzle game. It's really funny. It's an Adult Swim game. I don't know if you guys have checked out any of their stuff, but they're always really funny.
Who?
And this one's kind of addictive, actually.
Adult Swim, Steve. Cartoon Network. Get with it.
I'm not hip. I'm not with it.
Steve checked out as soon as I said iOS games.
I said,
usually that's my gig.
That's true.
Now is a good time to go get a Dr. Pepper.
Oh, God. I haven't had a carbonated drink in 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
It's 24 flavors. Can't be beat.
Oh, don't tempt me. You know what? That is pretty much all I have been playing. I think that's it.
iOS games?
Those
particular iOS games?
Yeah. That's it, man. What have you guys been playing? Talk to me about video games.
Okay, let me think. What have I been playing?
Nothing.
You were playing one yesterday for about 10 hours straight, according to my wife, who was stalking you on PSN.
Woo! I love when your wife stalks me.
Wait, this has happened before?
I did play a shitload of Ghost Recon Future Soldier yesterday.
Right.
I did. I think I'm on, according to Brian, I think the second last level of the single player campaign now.
Ghost, is this the one that has the acronym GRAW?
No, GRAW was Advanced Warfighter, and the new one is GRIFS. Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
Hold on a second. I'm just going to check out for a minute. Hold on.
Okay,
you go ahead. You can go ahead.
I can proceed.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome. And man, talk about intense.
Oh, yeah?
And what I really love about it is me and John were talking about this last week. John was, because John had made some headway into single player before I started playing it. And it feels like every level was a...
Let me just note that this headway was made because those bastards never invite me to play multiplayer.
You're never on.
Oh, I'm on. I'm always on. Okay, the free world has been saved three times over. You don't have to thank me, because I don't exist. By the way, you're welcome.
Yeah, no, it feels like every level in it, like every single mission. You know, you play even like some of the best first-person shooters, like even some of the best military stuff like Battlefield 3, Medal of Honor, the Call of Duty games, and even like Killzone 2, Killzone 3, which I love. I mean, I love all these games, not so much Call of Duty. But, you know, like they all feel pre-programmed in a sense that, you know, you run, you shoot, you get to the next level. You run, you shoot, you level up, you know, that kind of thing. And what I really love about Future Soldier is it feels like they really took a sandbox approach to each level. And what they did, it was almost like four or five guys sat around in a room and started throwing ideas out there, like, okay, we got to get to this objective point. But then when you get here, you rescue the guy, and he tells you that he's got sensitive data, but it's locked in the trunk of a car across town, and you've got to get back the way you came to this car to retrieve this sensitive data. But and it never feels video gamey. It always feels like...
Only this time they know somebody's been through there now, yeah. So now they got a Hindi patrolling over the flying over the area continuously.
Yeah, now there's two Russian attack helicopters and a group of Soviet commandos that can hack your shit. You know, like, yeah. It's really, really cool that way. Like
I still love that going in after the black box, and you know you're going in. And it's like, oh guys, we got some bad news for you. You're about 30 seconds out from a sandstorm.
That level was amazing.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely amazing, and it like. You get to this little shit shack, middle of nowhere desert runway with a few metal buildings, and the plane starts to take off. You have to take out one of the engines before the plane can get airborne. So I'm here like half a mile away shooting at it with a submachine gun, just hoping something's going to connect, and I see the puff of smoke and flame, and I'm like, yeah, I got it, yeah! And it's like, oh wait, no, the plane's taking off anyway. So I'm like, oh no, I don't got it. And then one of the other guys is, wait, that plane's having some serious trouble. And it crashes, like, across the refugee camp on the other side of the desert somewhere. So then you got to get to that in the midst of this intense sandstorm to retrieve the black box. It was so awesome! You know, it's just, like, how things keep changing up.
Yeah.
And it really felt organic. It didn't feel video.
Okay, did you finish the oil, the one with the, I think they're called Watch Guard or something, the... PMC guys?
Oh yeah, I did that one. That one was fantastic.
Okay. What did you think when the Hawk Squadron showed up?
That was awesome. Yeah. Absolutely awesome. That was a great level, actually. The one I'm on now, actually, I'm not even sure what a level is I'm on now, because I haven't started the level yet. I just finished the one previous to it.
Yeah.
But the one previous to was, I mean, like, rural Russia, like a forested area, or rural...
Okay, you're past me now. I'm in the middle of the sniper mission in Pakistan.
Okay, yeah, I'm past that one. That was great, though. That was really good, man. Yeah, the one now I'm in the woods. I'm in the middle of, like, this forested area that could be, like, you know, Tors Cove, Newfoundland. And guys are hacking my gear, so my crosscom has become unreliable. And that's been really fun, because you get all these, like, enemy objective or enemy locations popping up on your HUD constantly that aren't really there and stuff like that, and the guys are commenting on it, you know, like one of the guys is like, this augmented reality bullshit is really starting to piss me off, you know, like that kind of stuff. But it's really, like, everything just feels so organic. Nothing feels like a checklist. Nothing ever feels like you're ticking off, like, you know, shooter objective checklist. Everything feels dynamic. It's really, really cool that way. I'm enjoying the shit out of it.
Great.
And the multiplayer is badass.
Yeah.
I've already talked at length about the multiplayer, so I won't get into that again. What else have I been playing? A little bit more Dragon's Dogma, but not as much as I'd like.
How's that coming?
After the first 3 hours or so, it really clicked, man.
Oh, good.
It is actually one of my favorite RPGs of this generation.
Nice.
I think I'm probably about 11 or 12 hours in now.
Okay.
And it has me.
I had an epiphany playing it the other night, actually.
Yeah?
Yes, it's an RPG. It's very much an RPG, you know?
Like, yeah.
like anything like The Elder Scrolls, all that stuff, it's written in this game's DNA. However, you remember a couple of years ago when Capcom, how excited we were when Capcom announced they were relaunching Bionic Commando? You know, you had the trailer for Rearm, and then we saw the trailer for the new one, and despite the main character looking like the stupidest design we've ever seen, you know, we were all still crazy excited about it, and then the game came out and it sucked.
Yep.
With Dragon's Dogma, it feels to me like if Capcom were to attempt something in the vein of Magic Sword or Black Tiger nowadays, this would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it feels like to me. It's like, this is the way games have evolved now. This is how they'd have to do. People who say, you know, you want to play a new Ghouls and Ghosts? Well, you did. They gave you Dragon's Dogma. Right?
Yeah.
And the more I played it, the more I was thinking, man, darken up the art style a little bit. They could take, like, the framework of this game and make a really badass Return to Gargoyle's Quest or Demon's Quest, whatever you'd want to call it.
Yep. Yeah. Definitely. It is absolutely fantastic game, and you know what? It deserves what accolades it has been getting. I know the reviews have been, like, generally positive, but still mixed. But, I mean, the game has sold, apparently it sold over 400,000 copies or something now, and, you know, it's one of the biggest selling games of this year so far in Japan. I mean, it deserves that success, man. It is, like, they took chances. They really, you know,
yeah.
They went out there and tried to make, they thought outside the box. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of Demon Souls in its DNA, but it is a different game. Like, there's not really, like, overall, there's nothing else that compares to it. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, Demon Souls crossed with Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, totally.
But even then, it really does, man. It just it comes together so well. And it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful-looking game.
Mm-hmm.
I think, other than that, what have I got? I picked up the Batman Game of the Year edition, Arkham City, but I haven't dug into it yet.
All right, on.
Still haven't bothered with Max Payne 3.
Listen, you'll get to it eventually, and it's a nice, tight little campaign, okay?
Oh, I'm sure I'll enjoy it, man. Sure I'll dig it. I did get some iOS games. I did hit the App Store and download a few iOS games.
Oh, you did now?
Jesus, man, everyone poured one out for Kevin. I got stuff to talk about, too.
I grabbed Heroes Call, which is essentially a Diablo clone.
Okay.
But it's a good one.
Yeah?
It's a good Diablo clone.
How much is it?
It was free, I believe.
What is it called?
Heroes Call.
Heroes Call, okay.
Which I'm kind of digging. You know, it's really nice graphics, really pretty looking. Gameplay is, you know, Diablo, so.
Right.
A little bit more linear, like not as roamy and gear-centric as Diablo is, but it's right. Pretty fun. I'm enjoying it. Okay. I grabbed one called Juggernaut, which was also free. And it's kind of like this one-on-one turn-based fighting kind of thing. Like, it's a tough game to explain. It's almost like a Final Fantasy-esque combat system, but again, it's different. But okay. I'm really addicted to it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like you're constantly upgrading your character and buying new gear and stuff like this, and you fight one-on-one with all these creatures, and it's broken up into regions, and each region has, like, 10 creatures and a boss that you fight.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was really, really cool, and the mechanics are really neat. It's basically, the way it works is, like, you attack, the enemy attacks. You attack, the enemy attacks. You know, that's how it's structured.
Right.
But it looks pretty nice. It's definitely some kind of European thing, because the cutscene's got this dude with an awesome, like, Swedish or Norwegian English accent.
Okay.
But I was really entertained with it. I kind of got addicted to it.
Cool.
And the last one, I'm late to the game on this one, but my God, is it ever amazing, is Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery EP.
Oh my God, dude.
What a great freaking game, man.
That's a fantastic game.
I would love to do, like, just something along those lines. Like, just, you know, that model could fit with just about anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so goddamn atmospheric.
Great soundtrack. I mean, that's the amazing thing about how well an atmosphere could be created with really simple pixel art.
Yeah, and just,
you know,
beautiful.
And that's why I keep trying to hammer you guys on the Minecraft thing. You could be scared if the graphics are not realistic.
To be fair with Minecraft, I mean, I just love to jump to that N64 comparison.
All right.
But my thing with Minecraft is I don't have I can't even say the attention span, but the time to focus on Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know, Minecraft is like the ultimate casual game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those games that, like, hey, I'm sitting at the computer, I don't have a life beyond, like, a video game life to speak of, so I'm going to play Minecraft. You know, like,
yeah.
10 other games to play, and Facebook, and whatever else, podcasting and shit, watching movies, you know, like, if I didn't have all of that, then I could see myself definitely becoming a Minecraft junkie.
Yeah.
Some people become WoW junkies.
Yeah.
But I just...
Someday, Steve, someday I'm going to buy you Minecraft for Xbox. Me, you, and John are going to sit down, and we're going to record a session.
That would be awesome, actually. That
you know what would be a thing to do? We'll sit Steve down with Minecraft,
yeah,
and I'll sit down with a great big tub of Lego blocks, and we'll see who has more fun.
And we'll have drinks. There'll be alcohol involved.
Could I bring my Legos?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Legos, man. The more you...
And Kevin and I will make little mech suits out of Legos, and then we'll... What was that game called that I really, really want?
I don't remember what it was called. We talked about it weeks and weeks ago, though.
Yeah, Kickstarter thing.
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called.
It looked badass.
Yeah. You give up too easy. Mobile Frame Zero.
There we go.
That's right. That's it. Yeah. Steve, speaking of iOS games, when is Baldur's Gate coming out as a refresher?
The only thing I heard was summer. I didn't hear an exact date.
But I won it
yesterday.
Yeah.
There was no presence at E3, which is kind of surprising.
Oh, no?
But now, I don't think there was a big iOS presence at E3 anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So, John, what have you been playing?
Well, Kevin, funny you should ask.
Well, it is funny that I asked.
Yeah, no, 2 weeks ago, I didn't really know if we'd be hearing from you this summer. I didn't know if we were going to go with, you know, my plan of the revolving door of Kevin's. And, and you know, every episode we'd have a guy on there, and at the end of the episode we'd say how, you know, he failed to measure up.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
You're not.
We'll be back next week. You won't be. Steve and I'd, like, turn into, like, Dragon's Den-type douchebags. But, No, I actually went on to PSN. I downloaded a couple games in your honor.
Nice.
Yeah, I tried one. I don't know if you've played this one before. I thought you might have recommended it to me.
Okay.
Called Sideway New York.
Never even heard of it.
It's a little platformer, like 16-bit style platformer.
Right.
Except every character in it is graffiti on a wall.
Oh, that's
and as you're jumping around and everything, the camera twists and turns along these different buildings to keep up with you. And like you'll be jumping across, you know, it'll tilt one way, and the ground underneath you is the eaves trough running up the side of the building.
Right.
It was really, really, really cool. I was really enjoying it until I realized that the soundtrack was exactly 3 hip hop tunes that just repeated. Uh-huh. And they're only like 3 minutes long each, so, and the levels are all like 10 to 12 minutes long.
Okay.
So it's just pounds in your brain, right? And it's not even good hip hop.
Yeah, that's pretty grating.
I went down to the hat store to get.
And I got myself a hat.
Wiki wiki!
Yeah, like there's no Houdini in this game.
Okay.
But, no, it was a bit enjoyable. One I actually got, though, and actually really loved, was called Outland.
Outland, yeah. That's, yeah, isn't that like, what was that old game for, I don't remember. Anyway, I'm trying to make a comparison. I can't remember anything. Go ahead.
No, it's, very out of this world.
Out of this world, yeah.
Actually, I think in everywhere outside of North America, Out of This World was actually called Another World.
Oh, okay.
But, I'll check that while I'm speaking. Now, Outland is very, very much of the Super Metroid or Symphony of the Night style of game.
Nice, cool. But
everyone in it looks like they're... it's all done with silhouettes.
Okay.
And you're playing as... I forget what your main character is called, but he's just like this, just this guy who's been studying with this tribe and, you know, goes out to take this, you know, basically goes out on like a vision quest.
Right.
And along the way he acquires different powers, like the ability to switch between red and blue, which are like light and darkness.
Mm-hmm.
and it kind of plays almost like that 2D shooter Ikaruga.
Okay.
Where you're like, when you're in your blue form, you can't be attacked by blue enemies. It doesn't do anything to you, but you can't hit them either. You got to switch to your red form to do it, and it's like there's really clever platforming puzzles and everything involving trying to sneak through like devices that are just shooting waves upon waves of red and blue shots alternating.
Right.
And it was honestly really cool. I'm a few hours into it now. Even my wife really likes it.
Oh, cool.
Since I watched me play. Yeah, it was lit. Like, there's a demo on it for PSN. I really, you know, anyone out there looking for a decent platformer,
right.
You know, it's probably the closest thing PSN will get to Shadow Complex,
okay.
Which is a game I really enjoyed outside of its few glaring flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it's, you know, Outlands, it's a lot of fun. Boss fights are all the type I like, you know, huge.
Right.
Right?
And there's a demo, right? Yeah?
Yes, there is a demo.
Cool.
I don't know how long the demo is now. I mean, it's only $9.99, so I basically went out and said, fuck it, and downloaded it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's also a demo out there for Sideway. I'd recommend you try that out, too.
Yeah, definitely will. Definitely will. I'm just thinking now, last time we were playing games, we were playing Fez. Is Fez on PSN?
No, Fez is a XBLA exclusive.
Yeah.
Oh, those bastards.
Yeah. Fez was a lot of fun, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a good time. I know Steve wasn't digging it.
Now,
it's really not my kind of game, though.
No, of course not.
Speaking of things that aren't Steve's type of game, my retail, you know, I played a bit of Dragon's Dogma, a bit of Ghost Recon, but we went to length on them already. My retail review this week was I bit the bullet and went out and picked up Lollipop Chainsaw.
Oh, you didn't.
Which is the latest, what do we call them, Suda 51 Trips? It's like a Spike Lee joint, but Japanese and even weirder. And, you know, I figured I'd give it a try because I haven't been the biggest Suda 51 fan. You know, I've got the two No More Heroes games, but they're not my favorite bit of software for the Wii.
No.
And Killer 7 I absolutely hated. But last year, the stars aligned, and Shadows of the Damned was actually awesome, and I know I was saying how much of that was Shinji Mikami, how much of that was, I forget, the Italian fellow who directed it.
I'm not sure. I know the concept originally was Suda51's,
yeah.
And I think Mikami was kind of brought in as a contractor to kind of clean up the gameplay a little bit.
Yeah, and because, I mean, it feels just like Resident Evil 4. The Shadows of the Damned, right?
And it royally fucking tanked.
Yeah, it really did. So much
that's
that
game with the boner, right?
Yeah,
yeah. The hot boner. And then you can upgrade it to the red hot boner.
Oh my god, you can't.
You can. Oh, take
I,
it.
I didn't know that.
What does John Romero say? Suck it down.
Suck it down.
No, Lollipop Chainsaw is... I'm going to go out there and say, cause I was a huge fan of Shadows of the Damned. I thought it was great, and I think everyone who didn't buy it was an idiot.
I agree. I actually, Shadows of the Damned is a great game, and for $20...
Yeah.
Man, you know...
Hours upon hours of entertainment. And
hours upon hours of, what the hell am I playing?
Yeah. I love the whole Day of the Dead aesthetic to it, and just the... As dumb as a character name it is, Garcia Hotspur, wasn't it? Great character though, man. Like it's the idea they were trying to go with for No More Heroes. They stripped out a lot of the otaku stuff and just went really overboard on the machismo.
It was as though the game starred Ren and Stimpy, and he had been addicted to Colt or Old Port cigars for 6 years.
No, man, it's like it's, they made Ren and Stimpy the movie and cast Benicio del Toro as Ren.
Awesome. Man, I gotta pick that up one of these days.
It was great, man. Great game. And one thing, I'll get on Lollipop Chainsaw in a second. The thing like I love the most about Shadows of the Damned is something that a lot of games nowadays avoided this pitfall. It made the levels... the levels were really small in stature, but that fit perfectly with the pace of the game. It didn't feel like you were going on for hours and hours and hours just trudging through.
I like that about it a lot, actually.
Yeah, like, the levels were small, concise, they were tight. Because, I mean, Garcia moves at the pace of a tank, right? Good buddy, he's supposed to. He's walking through like the shadow realm of hell with a torch. You know, you're not supposed to run through that.
No.
No.
I'd be running.
Lollipop Chainsaw. Unfortunately falls into that pitfall. It feels like it was designed in 2002. There's a lot of a lot of long corridors leading to monster closets. You'll get trapped in a room and a counter will appear on screen, and it plays a lot like, at this point, it becomes almost like Smash TV or Robotron. You know, it's, you got to take down a certain number of enemies before the door opens and you can move on.
Well, thank you for telling me that, John.
Yeah. I don't honestly believe for 1 second you were even considering Lollipop.
I actually was on the verge. I'd seen the launch trailer or whatever for it, and I thought, you know what, that looks like it's a bit of fun.
And this is the strange thing. It is a bit of fun. And I'll bring it over so you can try it out. Yes, because it's just possessed of so much infectious charisma. The game is batshit insane. And, like, that when you get into the action set pieces, you'll get to boss fights, or you'll get to, you know, like one thing where there's a guy, the very first level in the parking lot of the high school is after climbing up on a flagpole to try to get away from the zombies. He's gonna fall in a few seconds. You gotta run and try to take them all out so he doesn't get attacked when he falls. And if you actually sprint in there, you'll get a prompt come up on screen to hit one of the buttons, and she'll actually grab and do the pole and do a stripper spin on it. And this is the part that made me laugh the most. Okay, just so you get an idea what the aesthetic of the game is. The color scheme and everything, it looks like an old, like, Tales from the Crypt comic from the 70s.
I heard right? that, yeah.
You get, like, really thick, inky black outlines on the characters. There's a lot of dot matrix-style dithering and everything in the shading.
Yep.
So it's an Unreal 3 game. I think Suda uses that a lot, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's a decent looking game. You get the title screen is set to Cherry Bomb by the Runaways.
Mm.
When you get into the game, like God of War, as you're attacking, as you take down zombies, you're filling up this star meter, right? To put you into rage mode.
Okay.
Oh, I'm curious about this.
Yeah. When you enter into rage mode, the game goes what I can only be described as disco retarded. It's like sparkles and rainbows everywhere, and the soundtrack stops, and it starts blaring Mickey by Tony Basil.
Oh my god.
It's like her speed and attack power triple, and it just starts going batshit crazy with, like, Dutch angles and everything. Everything becomes this grand action shot. And, like, you're taking swipes with the chainsaw and decapitating 3 and 4 people at a time, and you're getting these big blasts of sparkles and rainbows going everywhere.
It looks to me like it could be another, you know, in my personal book, it could be another Asura's Wrath, like another one of those when I see it go below $25, yoink.
And exactly, that is what I would advise to people, because there is a lot of fun to be had in it.
Like Shadows of the Damned, you know?
Like Shadows of the Damned. $60 is a little bit steep for it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't complain about it, man. It's my type of game. You know, I own Shadows of the Damned, I own Catherine, I own a bunch of weird stuff like that. You know, I bought Rayman Origins when it was new and expensive.
I've been playing Rayman Origins, and it's awesome.
Yes, Kevin, you're wrong. You were wrong. I've been saying it since last fall, and I'm glad the E3 converted someone else.
Oh, I didn't give it enough of a chance, man. I only played a little bit of the demo.
It's new Super Mario Brothers, but fast.
It's so... That's the best way I can describe it.
I will try it again. I will try it. If both of you guys are on board, I will try it again.
It is the video game equivalent of They Came from the North, Gabriel Girard. And I hope Gabe's listening to this, because he's going to love that. And next week when we record a new episode, I'm calling him Rayman from now on.
Rayman. He's going to think you're calling him Rain Man. That's not good.
Hot water burn baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like,
anything else?
No. Just, anyone out there who's on the fence, give Lollipop Chainsaw a chance. There's a lot of fun to be had with it. It's a nice, you know, I can't advise for $60. I mean, the campaign is anywhere between 6 to 8 hours, Which really, in my books, that's not a bad thing for that style of game. I don't want to play a 25-hour-long brawler.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's got just enough variety. You got three types of attacks. You've got the fucking awesome rage mode. And, like, it doesn't last long enough that you'll ever get sick and tired of hearing, "Oh, Mickey, you're so..." It's a lot of fun, but like everything else Suda does, it's he comes across to me as the type of game producer or director that really needs someone there to anchor him in a little bit. You know, that's a role Mikami pulled off brilliantly with Shadows of the Damned, and I like maybe he could have used somebody like Kamiya, the one behind Devil May Cry.
Yeah, so
he could have used somebody like that to kind of, you know, tell him when he was going too far with the groovy grindhouse stuff.
Yeah. Kind of like that House of the Dead Overkill and all that jazz.
Yeah. Yeah, like they're you know, you can only say dickhole so many times before it stops being funny.
Yeah.
Although I never thought that word would stop being funny, but it does.
You can't.
What's dick?
What?
She says it a lot. What the dick?
What the dick?
What the dick?
That's hilarious.
That's weird, man.
Anything else? Got anything else for us?
No, that's pretty much it.
Great. Well, before I hammer you guys with questions about E3... maybe we should pour one out for Studio 38 or 38 Studios.
I've forgotten their name now.
They're gone. They've gone long. Forgotten.
Gentlemen, give me 1 second. I don't know if my headphones are going to reach. Although this is the crazy Turtle Beach PS3 headset. Oh my god, it does reach.
Yeah, mine is now held together with duct tape, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's because you loaned it out to a Bayman.
I did. I loaned out someone with a bad case of MT.
Yeah.
Let's see. Studio 38. Yeah, that one calls for a ice cold kokanee.
There you go.
And who knows? Maybe I'll have another.
So
for any of our listeners out there, there you go.
Nice.
I just, you know, bankruptcy confirmed. What I really... and I guess this is the danger of getting in bed with the government, of getting loans from a state government. They're under investigation now.
You're kidding.
Yeah, like they declare bankruptcy, and then the state of Rhode Island starts an investigation. It's like, okay, guys, listen. My aunt is a teacher in Rhode Island, okay? My aunt teaches, I believe she teaches elementary school or high school in Rhode Island. And all year, they've been terrified about schools closing in Rhode Island, worried that they're not going to have jobs at the end of the school year and all this. And she says it, like, in her, I think she's been teaching for over 25 years, and she's like, in all of her years of teaching, this past year has been the most stressful year of her life because of what's going on with Rhode Island's education system. And you fucking morons lend $75 million to a video game company? What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Seriously?
We love video games, but man, that's stupid.
That's...
okay, $75 million. How many jobs are you creating?
400.
How many jobs are you creating?
400 jobs.
Yeah. How many school books could you buy with $75 million? A lot.
Well, let me just punch the numbers here. Hold on now.
Let me break up my calculator. let me break up my calculator and calculate where the money is going. I'm sorry, we gave my 18-month-year-old son, or my 18-month-old son, not month year.
Year-old son.
That's one mouthful of beer, guys, and I'm already out of control. My 18-month-old son, when he goes
over... Did you say 18-month?
Yeah.
Why don't you just say a year, man?
Yeah, really, John. Stop counting months. Don't be that guy. Don't be that parent.
It's my wife's fault.
He's a year and a half.
My year and a half year old son, when he goes over to visit his grandfather.
My year and a half year old son.
That was two mouthfuls of beer. You're going to edit this out, right?
No.
No, this is all in.
Awesome.
Edit. Post.
There's no post.
Dude,
my year and a half old son, when he goes over to visit his grandfather at the office, has got a they've set him up with a little, like, oversized name tag that's got Mr. Jacob written on it. And they sit him down on Poppy's desk.
Oh.
And they give him a little basket full of little office supplies that he doesn't use anymore. You know, he's got a couple couple post-it notes, and one of his things he's got there is a it's a broken calculator that we call the quackulator. So he can sit down, Mr. Jake can sit down and quackulate where the money's going.
That's awesome.
A nice
bean accountant.
A nice bright sunshiny center to an otherwise bitter ass story.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, they've gone bankrupt. State of Rhode Island in all of its infinite fucking wisdom is now investigating them. Guys,
with the assistance of the FBI.
Yeah, like seriously, really, this is why you don't invest in video games if you don't have the money to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean,
it's a high cost, high risk nowadays, right?
And at the other side of it is, okay, now this is where, like, I mean, normally I will defend Schilling. I thought Schilling was cool as a cucumber for getting into this business, and he came out himself and basically said, look, I stand to lose $50 million of my personal fortune, you know, which is a lot. You know, like, Schilling might have to downgrade to a normal everyman house, you know? But I give Schilling props because he put a lot of himself on the line with his company, and he was front and center for the whole thing, you know? And I feel bad for the guy. I really do. I mean, yeah, I know Kurt Schilling doesn't need my pity, but I really do feel bad for the guy because he went into this out of passion for it. He went into this because he wanted to make video games, and he wanted to stand with the big boys. And the gaming populace basically dick-slapped him.
Yeah.
Is what happened. And I mean, like, what sucks even more than that is Reckoning was an amazing game. Amazing.
Great game, yeah.
Especially for the first game from a new studio. I mean, these guys, the quality on this first game, in a just world, they'd be standing toe-to-toe with guys like Blizzard and BioWare in a year's time.
Yeah, this should have been the launching of a new studio.
Yes, this should have been, you know, the arrival. And the fact that the game sold 1.2 million copies and that wasn't enough, you know, it's just, it blows my mind. It's staggering. And then on top of that, more douchebaggery from the state of Rhode Island. They backpedaled on the tax credit, on the $8 million tax credit that the studio was supposed to get. Because they claimed that when it was first founded, it wasn't founded as a corporation in the state of Rhode Island. Which is horrible. Which is absolute horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole reason they set up tents in Rhode Island is because they were promised this tax credit. Of course the studio wasn't started in Rhode Island. He wasn't, you know, it wasn't active there when he started it. It was after he was given this opportunity for tax credits that he went to Rhode Island. You know, it wasn't like he was trying to swindle these guys out of money or something. They promised him something, so he accepted it, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, it burns me that, you know, when they were working on what looked to be a really promising game, and the big thing is, I want to say that maybe Big Huge Studios was a mistake. I want to say that I know that studio cost $50 million to purchase, and it became 38 Big Huge, which is the guys who developed Reckoning, and maybe that's where, you know, maybe that's where a lot of that $75 million went, was into acquisition, and I mean, we all know how well that worked out for THQ in the last few years.
Mm.
You know, like, it's a situation where the guys just, like, you know, they weren't given a chance. They really weren't. And then when they did have investors lined up, supposedly they had a few studios who were nibbling, and the state of Rhode Island came out with all this terrible news and gloom and doom, and they backed off like scared children. Which really sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad times.
Mm-hmm. In the end, I mean, the break point, all mad props to Mike Katz and Epic Games for this one. The core team at 38 Studios were picked up by Epic and started a new studio.
Great.
And their first project, supposedly, this is only rumor mill, this is Grizzle, is the game that would have been Reckoning 2.
Nice.
So, you know, they're going to have a new RPG property built on the foundation, on the very, very rock-solid foundation that was Reckoning, you know?
That's really good news, man.
Yeah.
It is really good news, because, I mean, also, maybe under Epic they might have a bit of, you know, a bit more tight control over budget and such things.
Well, right? No, the other side of that, too, is it's not really fair to blame Big Huge and Reckoning.
No, but I mean, you're not going to be looking at, like you said, a 70 or an 80, a $50 million
investment.
Studio. At, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, of course, the other side of it, too, is apparently EA funded a lot of Reckoning.
Yeah.
Reckoning's development was funded mainly through EA. So I think the other side of that, too, is a lot of the profit from Reckoning, where Reckoning probably was a big budget game and that sort of thing. I'm sure the way it works is EA basically collects the front end and then the royalties go to 38.
Yeah. And,
I mean, at $1.2 million, I'm sure that 38 started seeing royalties, but at the same time, I'd say it was too little too late.
Yeah.
You know? That game had to be like a 3 or 4 million seller, I think, for them to really kind of break out.
Yeah. Well, you want to know something? This guy bought a copy.
So did this guy.
Kevin, did you buy a copy?
No, but I want to buy a copy.
What the dick, man?
You know, me, I'm always 2 years behind. And then I raid the bargain bins.
Yeah, well, it's too late for Jimmy Del Soto at 38 Studios, who now had to sell his house.
I know. I know. Very sad. Anyway.
His son, Rafael Del Soto, now has to go to public school.
In Philadelphia.
East Philadelphia.
Born and raised.
I thought it was West Philadelphia.
Oh, I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
You know, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Why don't you sing us the theme song to Full House, because you probably know the lyrics to that, too.
Oh, burn. Anyway, moving on. Let's move on, guys. Let's move on to E3.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, boy.
Little bit of E3?
I want to ask you guys, let's break it down into the big three.
Okay.
And talk about those fellas first. And let's get... Let's get our favorite whipping boy out of the way right away. And let's talk about the big N. How do they do?
Fucking terribly.
You know, it's like the SATs. You get 200 points just for signing your fucking name. Nintendo forgot to do that.
All right, man. Last year's E3, I don't know if you guys... Oh, Kev, were you doing it with us last year after E3?
I think we launched in the summer, dude.
I was following it.
Okay, like... I don't know if you remember or not, but last year after E3, I was really high on Nintendo's press conference.
Right.
I basically said, you know what, Nintendo blew me away. That was a great show.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, man, Zelda Skyward Sword, fantastic. 3DS stuff, I had no interest in it, but hey, there's Kid Icarus, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Well, they took a system and they showed, you know, for people who bought that system, they showed, here's your must-own product.
Yeah, and I mean, and the Wii U stuff, the early Wii U stuff they showed... Great, like looked really cool, looked interesting, you know. Then this year you had Ubisoft's press conference where they showed the new Rayman game for Wii U, and they showed their own little Wii U sizzle reel, and I was like, God damn it, I think I want a Wii U.
Oh God, no, Steve.
And then I saw the Nintendo press conference.
Yeah. Guess what he doesn't want anymore?
Oh my God,
Wii U!
What a goddamn shit show that was.
Yeah.
How many times did Reggie say magic this year?
I don't know. They showed two first-party games, both of which looked like shit. I'm sorry, I have no interest in Pikmin. I never liked it. I never will.
Right.
And Nintendo Land is just like, what the hell? What the crap?
What is that? I've been hearing about that, man. Like, what is it?
Dude, it looks... It's terrible.
There's like a Zelda game on it and a bunch of other stuff?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Nintendo version of Kingdom Hearts. Like, okay. It's broken into sections, but I don't think the connectivity is there. Like, I don't think the worlds really interact with each other. It just looks dumb. It looks freaking stupid.
Okay.
And they showed a bunch of 3DS crap, which all basically looks like recycled 3DS crap. Like, another new Super Mario Brothers. Yay, hooray.
Dude, they have a 3DS up at the Shoppers Drug Mart here in Grand Bank, and man, am I tempted.
It sucks, dude. It's a shitty machine.
Kevin, okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay, they have the 3DS up there.
Yeah.
Do they have any games for it?
Oh.
No, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to give you the answer to the question. No, they don't. No, nobody does. And this is coming from somebody who bought one for his wife for Christmas.
Right, right.
They don't have any games for it because they don't exist.
If you're going to pick up a portable system that isn't an iOS-driven system, get a Vita.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can just do so much more with it.
Yeah.
Like play Uncharted, which is awesome.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
But like at Nintendo show, man, I would never in a million years say that this is a company that has a major console launching this year. No price, no release date, no launch lineup.
No killer app?
No killer app. A bunch of third-party software that we've been playing for a year or more on other consoles.
When you are, roughly speaking, 6 months away from the major holiday season,
yeah,
from Hurricane Retail, you're launching a system in November. You need something that at least looks like a killer app. Okay?
You're launching a new machine.
The Xbox 360 came out. Albeit, no, the game was shit when I played it. When I first saw those commercials, there was nothing in the world I wanted to play more than Perfect Dark Zero. Right?
It had Call of Duty 2, which was pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yep. These games looked great, you know? The PS3 launches. We had, Resistance, I believe, launched with that.
Resistance Fallen Man, yeah.
Yeah, looked
Layer.
Awesome, right? You know, back when the PS2 launched, I didn't give two shits about snowboarding games. SSX comes out, my jaw hits the floor. You need to have a game that makes you say, this, I want to plunk down $300. Right?
Yeah.
Nintendo gave us nothing. We know as much about the Wii U now as we knew
last
E3 when they showed us off their little mystery sizzle reel.
Yeah. The biggest profile game they showed, like the most focus, was given to Batman Arkham City.
A game that's been out for 10 fucking months.
Wow. And
about 8 months now, sorry.
And I can buy on other systems for $29.99.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, not only have you already been playing it, but now, yes, you can buy it even cheaper with all the DLC included.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, guys, if you play it on the Wii U, you get to use the controller as an inventory management system. I mean, come on.
So, let's talk about this for a second. The game is still running, and I have to look down from the screen all while Batman's getting the shit knocked out of my
to manage my inventory.
Look down at the screen rather than using a pause. No. The future's so bright, I gotta wear shades.
There was one rumor that was floating around that, if it had been true, would have really been the bombshell that got me to grab one. There was a big rumor floating around the day before E3 that it had already been announced, I think it was about a week or 2 weeks earlier, Gearbox had announced that Aliens Colonial Marines was delayed to January, or February. However, they also came out and said the Wii U version would be the best looking and playing of the three console versions.
Right.
But there were more rumors floating around that they were going to announce that it was a Wii U launch title. So it would have given the Wii U 3 months of exclusivity.
Right.
But that didn't materialize.
Yeah.
So, you know, lame. Weak and lame. Ubisoft did a better job of selling the Wii U with their new Rabbids game and with Rayman Legends, which looks awesome.
Right.
And the video they...
Is that only for Wii U?
No, it's for all three. But it's got exclusive Wii U elements. The little tiny character that you see like on the opening menu screen for Legends and stuff, this little floating guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the players can play him on the Wii U, and you use the Wii U tablet controller to give him touch commands.
Okay.
It looks neat. It looks fun, you know. But
yeah.
The other thing I thought was hilarious was they showed like a Rabbids kart racing thing that was part of the new Rabbids game. And it was 4-player split screen, and player 4 wins. And the other three people are kind of sitting on the couch, and they look at the empty seat on the couch, and they're like, huh? And then they go open the bathroom door, and here's player 4 and sitting on the toilet in the bathroom using the Wii U controller to play the game. Which I thought was hilarious. I roared at it, right?
Funny, man.
But, yeah, like, it's just, Nintendo doesn't really seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're floundering.
I don't get it. They're beyond floundering. They're just kind of, you know, it was like a newborn coming out of the womb, just kind of flailing.
Yeah.
Like watching Bambi try to walk.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like. Like watching Bambi try to
walk. Do you think if the Wii U bombs, it'll be the end of Nintendo?
No. They'll never go away.
Out of spite, they will never become a third party.
Not even out of spite, but just the strength of their characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a certain degree of brand loyalty there, but now, I gotta say, I was really surprised this year, because I've seen some really crazy Nintendo shit shows in my time following E3.
Yeah.
I've seen worse than what they put on this year.
Right.
But they always had the support. They still always had that hardcore Nintendo, you know, starving idiot fan base. Yeah.
Speaking of Rain Man. But, but this year, it seems like nobody is behind him anymore.
The battered wife has gotten out and spoken with her sister.
Yeah, I I think people have just kind of, like, they've reached the end of their goodwill, you know?
Right.
They're sick of being told by Nintendo what they want. They're sick, they want some input again. They want to tell Nintendo what they want to play, you know?
Yeah.
What I want is something, is not to have to wait 8 months in between a playable piece of software.
That'd be okay. That'd be all right.
So, how did Microsoft do?
Okay.
Take a deep breath, Steve.
Yeah, here we go.
Yoga breath, Steve. Inhale for 5 seconds.
Okay, and my chakram is healthy.
All right.
A chakram is something you decapitate people with.
My chakra.
Thank you.
I am in my place of Zen calm.
Okay.
Okay. Microsoft's press conference began with one of the most mind-blowing game demos I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. It was just Halo 4, man, looks astounding.
Really?
Looks absolutely astounding. Looks.
It's not just another Halo game.
No. It really, like, it looks beautiful. The way they've integrated, like, AAA level Hollywood quality special effects and live action actors into the game is fucking brilliant.
Nice.
Absolutely brilliant. And the gameplay looks like something new. Like, it's fresh. The Forerunners are the main bad guys now, and they look awesome. Their weapons look awesome. It's a totally fresh face on Halo.
Right.
You know, it looks fantastic. It looks really, really good. And then the bombshell hit. A surprise announcement. Nobody knew it was coming. There was no hint or preview. Ubisoft Toronto's first game was shown in gameplay at the Xbox Live press conference.
Right.
And hot on the heels of Halo 4. They didn't announce anything. You just see a big screen come up of Afghanistan. Some guy with a turban wrapped around his head carrying another soldier into, like, a Arab terrorist training camp on the border of Iran and Iraq. Lays the character on a table, one of the commanders in the room starts talking to you in Arabic, and even the button prompts, like the responses come up in Arabic. So I was thinking, okay, this must be Black Ops 2 or something. This just looks, you know, military shooter kind of thing. And then everything goes south, and you see the little markers pop up over each of the guy's head. Dude rips his turban off, takes down all three of them in a slow-mo kill. It's Sam Fisher, new Splinter Cell.
Oh, wow.
And it was handled beautifully. And the game looks
amazing. Yeah, just in case everyone forgot that Sam is the alpha male when it comes to video game badasses.
Yeah, it was great. It was handled, like, the unveil was handled perfectly. The crowd went absolutely nuts, and the game looks awesome. It looks absolutely fantastic. I mean, Splinter Cell Conviction was a great game, and this looks like it kind of continues where that left off. But yeah. It's kind of a reboot as well. It's called Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Third Echelon anymore. It's a new, like, a more secret Third Echelon's been disbanded by the U.S. president, blah, 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 blah. And Sam Fisher has been picked himself to head a new organization called Fourth Echelon. And so, like, you're now the head of the organization, so there's no higher-ups manipulating you through the storyline and all this kind of stuff. You're at the center of the action. You call all the shots, and you got your support team. You know, it's almost like a Mission Impossible kind of thing now. It's got a really cool vibe, and the gameplay was awesome. It just looked so cool. It looked really, really neat. It's like it's still got that almost kind of puzzle mechanic mixed with third-person shooting feel that Splinter Cell is really good at, but it looks so smooth, man. It looked really good. And from there, you got your Gears of War teaser trailer, which was, you know, hey, look, more Gears of War.
Right.
Ooh. But
I'm certainly not going to complain.
No, I mean, it looks pretty cool. And you're playing as Baird, who is probably my favorite character in the game.
And actually, you know, you want to know something I really liked about it?
What's that?
I looked at the character models of the game, and it looks like they've all been hitting the Slim Fast plan.
Well, it's set 14 years before the original.
Yeah, but I mean, even for an Unreal game, they've managed to shave off a lot of the bulkiness on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It's actually also not being developed by the core Epic team. It's being developed by People Can Fly, the guys who did Bulletstorm.
No, it's okay, man. Bulletstorm was a bit of fun.
I loved Bulletstorm. I thought it was great. But yeah, I think it looks cool, and I mean, it's Microsoft's whole, you know, year one Halo, next year Gears. They're going to just keep going back and forth, I think, between Halo and Gears, and I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
After that, there was a little bit of Halo, or Fable the Journey, which looks like shit, and Forza Horizons, which sounds pretty cool. It sounds basically like Forza Motorsport crossed with MotorStorm. It looks pretty cool, but then it just descended into hell.
Right.
I think it was a 90-minute long press conference.
Hey, Steve.
Guilty or innocent?
Oh, man. Oh, for about 45 or 50 minutes of this 90-minute press conference, they focused on new dashboard features.
Oh, no.
Powered by Kinect.
Oh, God.
The voice-activated bullshit of Kinect. And, dude, it was painful to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, this was shit that wouldn't have flopped. You guys remember CES?
Yeah.
Yeah, when they used to have, it was a trade show with televisions and computers and shit besides video games. That still would not have flown there.
No. I mean, this smart glass thing looked pretty cool that they showed up. Basically, if you got a mobile device, like an iPad, iPod, iPhone, whatever. But now, they didn't specifically say Apple OS, so it's still a little bit of a gray area whether or not it's going to be on Apple devices. But it basically works as a second screen for your game.
Okay.
And they showed how it ties into Halo 4. Like, guys were playing a multiplayer Halo 4 match, and on your iPad, he had the scoreboard. For the game, and he tapped on one guy and got to see his loadout and his armor features, like his customized armor and stuff. Got his gamer tag, added him, sent a friend request and everything, just fall from the iPad while he was playing Halo 4.
Right.
Which was really freaking cool. I gotta
say. Sounds a little Wii U-ish to me.
Oh, it definitely does. But it was still pretty cool. I was impressed. It was cool. Tech, you know? It was kind of like the whole second screen thing they've been doing on Blu-ray for a while.
Yeah.
But it was neat. But other than that, I mean, the show was kind of a dive.
Right.
They had so much cool stuff, too. The day before, they announced their Summer of Arcade lineup, and there's some awesome-looking games in it. There was one, I think it was called Dust Tales of Elysium or something like that, which is a 2D side-scroller with beautiful, hand-painted artwork. Dust, an Elysian Tale. You had Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD Hybrid, which is like a third-person shooter from the guys who made Scribblenauts.
Man, I remember Dust, and I was wondering what happened to that.
Yeah, and Deadlight, which looks phenomenal. It's like a post-apocalyptic horror version of Super Metroid.
Hmm.
And it looks phenomenal, but they didn't talk about any of this stuff at the press conference. They were too busy talking about music features.
Right.
Oh, it was horrible. Why didn't you guys focus on this stuff? Why would you do that? To me, Microsoft seems like, you know, they've still got games, which is great. They're still kind of trying to cater to the core as much as they can. But this year...
It really feels like it's catering to the core more out of, you know, do your chores, right? It's an unfortunate necessity for them now.
It also feels like this is the end for the Xbox 360. This is the last time you're going to see a strong presence for that system at E3.
Right, right.
This time next year, it'll be all Xbox 720 or Xbox Next or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I don't know.
I miss the days when you'd, you know, back when people did you hear about the Nintendo 2000? I miss when we used to put 2000 at the end of something and that made it new.
I miss
Street
seeing the
Fighter
ads
2010.
And magazines. That's what I miss.
Magazines.
Magazine ads. Oh my God, look, there's a new system. Check out this picture.
Look at this thing. What the hell is a TurboGrafx? Is that the new Nintendo?
So let's move on to my favorite company. How does Sony do?
Sony did pretty well.
You fanboy.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fascist, man.
Favoritism, we have to bash them too. Come on.
I got something bad to say about Sony, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. All right.
Jack Tretton did a fantastic job hosting.
Yep.
For starters,
he was you're still great the boss host. Of me.
Great host. They showed an exclusive reveal for Assassin's Creed 3. They showed the naval levels.
Nice.
That was exclusive to the Sony press conference. And, he came out and he said, you know, in the world of Assassin's Creed 3, battles weren't only fought on land. They were also fought at sea. And then there was this whole big gameplay demo of this, Connor, the main character in Assassin's Creed 3, is the captain of a privateer ship fighting, four or five French and British vessels. It was freaking awesome! Absolutely amazing! And it just adds yet another amazing dimension to that game, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for everyone who's been complaining, you know, with the Ezio games, that it was just, you know, I'm ready for something new, Ubisoft were listening.
Oh, it looks stunning. It looks absolutely stunning. And he had the bombshell from Sony, the big surprise from Sony, was the next game from Heavy Rain creators Quantic Dream and David Cage. They did have it was called Beyond Two Souls.
Okay.
Which is a supernatural thriller starring Ellen Page.
Whoa.
And it looks amazing.
That is really exciting to hear.
It looks really, really good. And I mean,
so how does this tie into what they were showing off with Project Terra?
It's basically a tech demo. Project Terra was the tech demo, and Beyond is actually powered by that same engine. So it's not a futuristic thing, which kind of sucks, because Terra was so awesome.
Yeah.
But I guess like the tech demo for Heavy Rain, you know, the tech demo they showed for Heavy Rain had no bearing on the final game either.
No.
But it does look fantastic. Like, the trailer was really moody, really atmospheric. It was just Ellen Page sitting in a police officer's office, like in a detective's office. And, you know, he's saying, like, you know, we found you soaking wet, standing in the middle of the road. You need to tell me something. What were you doing out there? Were you by yourself? Did somebody try to hurt you? But, and she's not answering. She's not saying anything to him, right?
Right.
And he gets up, walks out of the office, says, look, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. I'll be back in a minute, you know, or whatever. And then I'm going to have to call someone. And when he opens the door to leave, here a SWAT team comes into the office. And it's this, you know, small-time, you know, small-town police station kind of thing. And this SWAT team of about 10 or 15 guys come to the door. And, you know, the head of the team basically looks at him and says, is she in there? And when he nods his head, they all kind of go over and get into attack formation around the door. And he goes to knock on the door to walk back in. And, like, that's where it ends.
Oh, wow.
It looked so cool, man. Like, there's a supernatural element to it. Like, she sees ghosts and stuff like this. And
okay.
It just looks really, really cool, man.
Nice.
And they showed a bit of gameplay footage from God of War Ascension, which was, like, beyond.
Right. And there's, like, a multiplayer
again,
element.
Like Gears of War. You know, it's God of War. If you like it, if you're still hungry for more,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. And The Last of Us, the new Naughty Dog game, they showed a gameplay sequence from that, which looks fantastic.
Okay.
Looks really good. But no big surprises, no huge bombshells.
Right.
According to Tretton, they had between 7 and 10 more games that they kind of had to cut out, because they only had so much time.
Right.
Wasn't a really strong Vita presence, which was a little disappointing. And the downside, the big negative for me, they're pumping this PlayStation All-Stars thing way too much.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the game looks like shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're really pumping it, and I mean, they gave a good chunk of the conference to it, and then they announced crossplay between it and the PSP version, which is all fine, or the PS Vita, sorry, version, which is all fine and dandy. But, you know, the game just doesn't appeal to me, and I can't see it appealing to a whole lot of people. I can see it doing modest business at best.
Yeah.
Well,
because,
like, something like Smash Brothers on a Nintendo console.
You've got
like it's always like I always say about other fighting games. It in the vacuum, in the you know in the absence of something like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Right. It is successful, but PlayStation All-Stars coming out on a system where I can play Street Fighter Cross Tekken, I can play Blaze Blue, I can play, what's that new Persona 1 coming out, right?
Yeah.
It's, there's no lack of fighting games on that system.
And the other side of it, I mean, okay, Sweet Tooth, Kratos, Nathan Drake, yes, they're iconic characters, but they're iconic in their own games. Sweet Tooth is iconic to Twisted Metal fans. Nathan Drake is iconic to Uncharted fans. Nintendo characters are iconic to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big difference. That's a huge point of contention there, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
they should take the game and make it a $20 downloadable title.
I agree totally. It should not be a full price retail release.
Yeah. Throw in some microtransactions for additional characters.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, the Last Guardian was nowhere to be seen.
Right.
That was actually, I didn't see any Last Guardian, and I was honestly expecting to see, even though it's a multi-platform release, I was expecting to see another appearance by Overstrike.
I don't think Overstrike is really in any position to be shown. I think that first announcement of Overstrike, I think, was like just a concept trailer, and that was it. I don't think they've got anything else.
No, and that worries me.
I got a feeling you're never going to see it. Yeah. I know the reception to it when it was first announced was pretty cold as well. So maybe that's a part of it. You know, maybe they kind of said, okay, we can continue on this course, make this game and have it bomb, or we can just stop now.
Yeah.
You know? Because the reception was pretty harsh,
yeah,
to say the least. they're not a studio that can trade on name recognition.
No, but I mean, it's just like, Insomniac's always been a pretty big part of Sony.
Mm.
right? So I was kind of expecting to see something from them.
That was supposed to be published by EA, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows? There's been no talk of it, I know that.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those kind of forgotten blips from E3's past. You may see it pop out in a year's time or so. Gone, but forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And the other big thing was this Book of Spells shit, man.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my. Why did they spend 20 minutes talking about this fucking game?
What is it?
It's augmented, like, uses PlayStation Move and the Eye in conjunction with these books that you buy. Wonder Books, Sony Wonder Books, they're called.
Okay.
And the first one, of course, is Book of Spells, which is set in the Harry Potter universe and is actually written by J.K. Rowling. And you use the PlayStation Move like a magic wand to interact with the book that teaches you how to do spells. And when you do the spells, like, the book on screen, like, the pages open up and dragons fly out of it and all this. And, like, the concept is cool as, like, an educational tool or edutainment or whatever, you know. But to spend 20 minutes of a major E3 press conference on it was just so dull, so boring, and, you know, you could tell that the audience was just kind of reacting out of politeness, not out of genuinely being odd.
Right.
You know, and I would have just as soon you not show anything. I would, like, every time Andrew House was on stage at that conference, it died. It was like a bag of wet cement. You know?
I'm looking that game up as soon as we finish recording.
Aisha Tyler, he was not.
But yeah, like, Sony did a solid, and I love what Trenton's message was basically, you know, Sony has never been first, they've never been cheapest, but they've always been all about the gamer.
Right.
You know, and he even explicitly stated, you know, like, yes, we did introduce Move, but we didn't introduce Move in the absence of games for the core, games for the hardcore, you know, like, Move is an option. Move is like, you know, if other people own a system and want to play with Move, here you go. Like, you know, Sony, he wants the PlayStation and the Vita to be in that position of, we are the console for gamers.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to be an entertainment hub in your household, which is what Microsoft is really going towards with the 360 now.
Right.
You know, like, he wants it to be a game machine. Like, Sony has put themselves out there as a game machine.
Mm-hmm.
Which none of the other guys really seem to be doing.
Yeah. Good for them, man.
Of the big three, they had the best press conference at E3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what were like, for you guys individually, what were the standouts this year at E3?
You start, John.
See, there are not words enough to describe how excited I am for Sleeping Dogs.
That game looks awesome.
It really does. There was something else I wanted to talk about, but I'm going to let Steve gush about that one.
Oh, I think I know.
But I'm super excited for Sleeping Dogs, okay? Guys, I've got a pretty respectable collection of Hong Kong action movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the sort of stuff I love, and the fact that the game basically is letting you play as a Donnie Yen character. And it's like, I love, you know, the combat looks like Arkham Asylum or Arkham City, but flashier.
Right? Nice.
And, like, yeah, man, there's just the amount of beat ass that this guy lays down. And I love the whole, it's like a harder boiled version of Hard Boiled. Right? It's like the story seems to be ingrained in, this guy is so far undercover that he doesn't know which way is up anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
There's a, what did we say, Steve? There's a line. And once you cross it, there's no crossing back over it.
Yeah.
But the trick is you can't see where... You can't see it until you've already stepped over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just... It looks so goddamn amazing.
It does.
And I really got to agree with the... one of the guys from Square Enix said it. That, number one, they can't believe Activision let it go. And number two, they think that the best thing that could have possibly happened to that game was losing the stigma of the true crime name on it.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Because when you look back at it, that's not a series that's ever sold particularly well.
Well, the first game was a modest hit.
Yeah.
It wasn't a critical hit, you know, like it came out and...
And it was a modest hit back in, what, 2002?
2003.
Okay, so it's been 9 years since your last success.
And then the second game was actually a better game, but it was so bug-ridden and ran so choppy that it was unplayable.
Yeah.
You know?
So rather than saying True Crime Hong Kong, yeah, I think it's a better... Especially if the game opens up with some sort of like literary or quote or something about sleeping dogs.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If it opens with something like that, that's brilliant.
It looks good.
It looks fantastic.
And it's coming out this August.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Which, it wasn't really a new announcement, but, you know, it was...
And, like, no, it just goes to say, man, I love the new Square Enix business model.
Yeah.
Ever since they started, you know, I'm not one of these guys who's going to complain about the nuns in the trailer for Hitman.
I thought that trailer was awesome.
Oh, dude, you can't believe... You remember how giddy I got when they blow up the hotel room and they're first showing they're shooting the guns and everything, and without a sound, you see 47 jump out from behind one and grab the one next to her with his garroting wire?
His little cheese wire.
Yeah. I was like, and then before he goes Rambo, like, it's not even just showing him go Rambo on all of them. Like, you see him, like, silently just take down four. Right?
And that's coming this year, too.
Yeah, that looks... And even, like, last year, the year before, when they started really showing off Deus Ex, right?
Yep.
And this year, especially with the awesome, awesome trailers and gameplay footage we've been getting of the Tomb Raider relaunch. I love this new Square Enix.
Yep.
I love that, you know, here's a Japanese company with big name recognition from their super successful PlayStation and PlayStation 2 era, huge name recognition, that are taking these Western teams and entrusting them with money and these brand names that they've picked up.
Yeah, what I love
they're
about it.
They're really spreading their wings and getting out from being just the guys who do Final Fantasy.
Yeah, what I love about it is, you know, there's still that very clear distinction between Eidos and Square.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it's got Square Enix on the logo and stuff, but it's totally core, at its core, an Eidos product, you know?
Yeah.
And the other side of it is, it also demonstrates that Eidos was a few million dollars and a competent bit of management away from being a real powerhouse this generation.
Yep.
You know? From really being a glorious company.
And it really makes me look to the future. That I know Deus Ex sold relatively well, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, did really.
Yeah, I think Tomb Raider can trade well on its name. I still think it can.
Tomb Raider, based on the hype now, that game is off the scale, man.
Yeah, and I think there's enough interest there in Sleeping Dogs for that to do well enough.
Yep.
Right. This gives me really, really high hopes of what Square can pull off in the next generation.
I think what they've got lined up with Eidos, man, is pure talent.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with budgets. It has nothing to do with spending or planning. It has.
Did I ever tell you guys the story of the print shop I work in?
Yep.
That I manage. Sorry. The day that Deus Ex the Deus Ex lot hit store shelves.
Yep.
We had to ship boxes full of champagne. From Valve.
To Eidos Montreal, yeah, you did.
To Eidos Montreal, and just with a handwritten note from Gabe Newell, basically saying, congratulations from us to you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a situation where the guys are just, like, I mean, I don't think they're spending the money that Activision or, like, you know, Deus Ex didn't have Call of Duty's budget.
No, it didn't.
But it didn't need Call of Duty's budget.
What it lacked in visual muscle, it made up for in art design. Something that a lot of game studios are forgetting. That with the proper art design, with the right visual aesthetic, you don't have to have the shiniest graphics. Imagination still goes a long way.
And dude, I'm looking at Tomb Raider. Like, I'm looking at game. They had three separate gameplay demos of Tomb Raider at E3 this year. Like, three different stages of the game. And it looks every bit as appealing and artistically beautiful to me as any of the Uncharted games.
Yep.
I'm going to say that. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. And on top of that, it looks twice as intense.
Yeah.
You know, take the most intense moments from Uncharted 2 or Uncharted 3, and you get those in Tomb Raider.
And, like, dude, I'm just looking at this new Lara Croft they got there, and I'm just wondering, okay, it's going to be awesome when you get her to the point where she is either, you know, weeping with everything that's going on around her, or they finally push her to the point when something snaps in her brain.
Yeah.
Right?
But one of the gameplay demos they showed actually kind of caters to that.
Yeah, like, when that woman goes off, it's going to be like dynamite.
Yeah. Right? It was actually really cool. It's handled really, really well. Like, the gameplay demo is... She basically gets the shit knocked out of her, like, in major fashion.
Yeah.
And the demo ends with a voiceover, and it's her father or her grandfather doing the voiceover. And he
Lord Richard, I think it's supposed to be her father, Lord Croft.
Yeah, but you hear, what's the speech is something like, you know, you'll fall, you'll be broken, you'll be bent, you'll, blah, blah, you know, but you'll push through and you'll survive because you're...
I don't think I'm that type, that kind of Croft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're a Croft, you know, like, and that was, it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. And I think the game looks phenomenal. Like, I think it just looks like a great piece of gameplay, man.
Yeah, and when, I mean, man, when she goes off, it's going to be like when Sam Fisher came back in Conviction and was the baddest motherfucker ever. Right?
Well, the game...
You're going to have mercenaries standing around the campfire screaming out at her.
Well, the gameplay level they showed were, she, it is actually like the mercenary camp or whatever, and she's hiding behind the cover with the bow, with the homemade bow. Taking the guys out, like, it was awesome, and like, and that's really what it was. She has become the Silent Hunter, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, then she gets washed down a mudslide, lands in the fuselage of a wrecked Lancaster bomber, manages to grab the parachute that's hanging on a hook there long enough before the glass breaks out from underneath her. Then you got the real time thing where you're guiding her on the parachute through all the trees, and she's whopping off tree branches everywhere. You know, it just, it looked so intense.
Yeah.
It looks so ridiculously awesome. I can't...
It looks like what that franchise has been screaming for since 1999.
Yeah. It looks fantastic.
And now we finally have the technology and studios and publishers with the vision to let it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What was the last Tomb Raider game?
Last one was Tomb Raider Underworld, which was pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was
kind of... Oh, yeah, I mean, like The Legend, that little trilogy they had, Legend, Anniversary, and Underworld.
Underworld was good.
Yeah,
it
was,
it was also Crystal Dynamics. It was the Legacy Kane guys, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But no, man, I mean, they were decent little games.
They were. I enjoyed them.
So what are you looking forward to the most, Steve?
Well, a few thoughts in general on E3. Ubisoft rocked it.
Yeah, they did.
Ubisoft.
Major step up from last year's disappointing show.
Well, last year's wasn't even too bad. It was the year before last
year. Oh, it was the year before that? They were the worst in show?
Yeah, but last year's, they got away from the casual games. Last year was when they announced, like, they first showed, I think it was the first bit of Assassin's Creed Revelations, and, you know, they were back to making games again.
Yeah.
But now this year was all core gaming. You know, like, there was one little bit dedicated to Just Dance. And they had that one part where they showed this free-to-play multiplayer PC shooter that was similar to Counter-Strike, which I went, like, just meh, you know? But,
not my flavor of cheese, right?
No, exactly. But everything else was core games, man. It was all core, like, you know, Splinter Cell Blacklist, Assassin's Creed 3, they showed one of the assassination sequences where you have to sneak into this wintered British fort and kill the commander of the fort. And it was mind-blowing. Absolutely amazing-looking. Rayman Legends, and then, of course, the big one, Waking Dogs.
Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs, which I was telling Kev about earlier.
Yeah.
This is what I find really interesting, is their big gun for the show, and they really treated this game like it was their, this was their secret weapon.
Yeah.
Brand new IP. Everything else was sequels and... You know, stuff like Assassin's Creed 3 looks new enough to be, you know, it's not Daddy's Assassin's Creed anymore.
No, it isn't.
But this one, Watch Dogs, for anyone out there who's always complaining about too many sequels at E3, pay attention.
Yeah, and dude, like, just, you know, they knew what they had. I mean, what did they do? They brought Yves Guillemot, the head of Ubisoft, like the president of Ubisoft, CEO. They brought him on stage to announce it. And then they just proceeded to blow people's fucking minds wide open. You know? Like, that was the response the game got, and you could tell.
What was the response it got from me, man? I was like,
yeah.
What?
And it was real time. It was real time gameplay. It wasn't, you know, a canned pre-rendered trailer. It wasn't just like a teaser and then coming eventually. They showed a gameplay sequence. They showed a full gameplay sequence being played live on stage.
I love that they've been able to keep the wraps on it, too, for so long. No magazines, no internet. Nobody knew anything.
No.
Nobody even knew there was anything coming. It was all, you know, you think Ubisoft, everyone was, it's all, oh, Assassin's Creed 3, right?
But the flip side to that coin is, for the last while, everybody's been wondering, what the hell is Ubisoft Montreal working on?
Yep.
Here's your answer. It was Watch Dogs, and it was goddamn jaw-droppingly astounding.
Like, you know, like, the big thing early on this generation everybody talked about was emergent gameplay. This is, you know, the full realization up to this point of emergent gameplay. You know, this is dynamic, constantly evolving, infinite numbers of possibilities on how to get through a scenario. Like, it really is emergent gameplay in its purest form, you know?
Yeah.
Really, just really impressive piece of technology. And I'm sure, like, with Ubisoft Montreal behind it, and the fact that the game is not going to ship until sometime in 2013, probably fall 2013, I'm sure it's going to stand. Like, and it's been 3 years in the works already. It's definitely going to live up, you know?
Yeah.
It was, when I saw it, man, when the demo was over, the end piece of the demo, and then you see another character up on a rooftop looking at the first character, and you hear the little voiceover, you know, it's like, Pierce is running from the police, sir, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no, let him go for now. We'll continue to protect him for now. And then when the game director came out and basically said that second character on a rooftop was me playing on a separate controller. You know, it was just like, holy crap.
So there's awesome.
There's a fully realized multiplayer suite where each of the characters are all in one persistent setting, but all of them have different mission objectives that relate to each other. You know, like, really freaking cool. So, so cool. I just, right. I can't wait to actually see this game.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds really up my alley, man. I'm really excited to see more on that.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the gameplay video, like the gameplay walkthrough, check it out, man.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely will. I just saw the teaser, which was cool enough.
Yeah. And I mean, I saw the teaser and I was like, what the hell is this? And then, like, you know how they work it into the 1998 New York blackout and all this stuff? I was like, man, this is really cool. And then they started the gameplay demo and I was like, okay, and at first I just thought it was a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see the HUD start to pop up and stuff, and I was like, wow. And myself and Brian were watching it, and then at the end of it, when there's the little shootout in the middle of this four-way intersection, Brian was just like, my God, this game looks gorgeous. And it does. Like, it looks phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Burn on game a show for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It was.
I game a show for a lot of people, man.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And number two, I got to give it to Assassin's Creed 3 because of that whole naval battle thing. That just looked amazing. And then hunting, skinning, selling your furs to get...
Wasn't there another bit of Assassin's Creed news from E3 that was fairly big, too?
Oh, the PS Vita version?
Yeah.
Yep, that looks good. Actually, it looks really good. It's a different character, first female assassin.
Really?
Yeah, and it's also...
Yeah, I love the... I love how they keep tying in the eagle's beak. Like,
yeah.
Into their hoods or whatever.
Yeah.
Instead of having a hood, she's got a tri-corner hat.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all set in the front of the design. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's all set in the southern United States, like the plantation era, New Orleans.
Looks and cool. She's wasn't a plantation owner's daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
But his first, I think she's the daughter of his mistress or something.
Yeah, yeah. She
because I know that she I know she that they mentioned her her mother is black.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But it looks great. It looks really good. And
wasn't it Aveline, I think, was her name?
Aveline, yeah.
Yeah, it looked really,
Assassin's
really
Creed
cool.
Revolution, I think, is the name of it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it's coming for, well, they're launching it this year, same time as Assassin's Creed 3. And it's going to be, there's going to be a PSP, or PS Vita, sorry, bundled with it as well.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm going to take the plunge on that one.
How much is the Vita going for nowadays? What's the retail?
You know what gets me excited? You know what gets me really excited?
What's that?
The possibility of overlapping story.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because
they're both set in the same time frame, too. I think it's 1876 is where the PS Vita one is set.
Yeah.
And the Assassin's Creed 3 covers 30 years. So, from the end of the Civil War, or from the end of the Revolution or whatever to, or middle of the Revolution to, like, a few years after the Revolution, something like that. But I love what they're doing with it. I love what they're doing with the setting and stuff. But you had, I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 was just mind-blowing, and the other big game for me was definitely Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Everything I've seen on Tomb Raider was astounding. And I guess my final thoughts on E3, I loved E3 this year. It was just...
Yeah, and that'll just tell you something about how good the good was in this.
Yeah.
That even the fucking double-decker shit sandwich that Microsoft and Nintendo gave us could not sour me.
What I loved it was all about the games, man.
Yeah.
It
wasn't about any gimmicks or console launches or anything.
And good, man, because I don't think gamers could deal with another year of it.
No. And
everything that was shown, like 9 times out of 10, like most of the games that were shown were great.
If it had happened, man, and we had all decided to rise up and throw our consoles away, I'm calling it coloring books. Hobby of the future.
Crayons, man. Crayons all the way.
Dude, I've got coloring books and crayons for Jacob. I can't fucking wait. I can't wait because I'm going to be coloring alongside him. And it's going to feel so horrible to me because he's going to want to use my Prismacolors, and now I'm going to be like, no.
Don't you touch.
That's
do you still have any of your old coloring books when you guys were kids?
I think I still got a few floating around mom and dad's.
Yeah, mom and dad might have a couple of them. I had a mask one.
Nice.
And a He-Man one. And the He-Man one was all based around the, the dude who used to make tornadoes.
Oh, God.
I think it was Cyclone was his name.
Wow.
Blue, yes. The blue and yellow guy.
It was blue, yeah, blue and yellow.
And I know he was a man who was turned into a machine, because the entire coloring book, at one point they had to fight this big spider that Skeletor turned into a robot. Why am I remembering a coloring book that I had when I was fucking 6?
Instead of telling us your game at E3.
I already told you my game at E3.
Oh, Sleeping Dogs?
Yes.
No love for Dead Space 3, John?
Oh my God, I forgot Dead Space 3.
I thought you would have been on Dead Space 3.
How did I forget Dead Space 3?
Dead Space 3? What kind of stuff was there?
Kevin, you're going to love this. Dead Space 3 apparently opens up, as all Dead Spaces, as like Dead Space 2 opened, and Dead Space 1 kind of opened up.
Okay, keep in mind I haven't actually played Dead Space 2 yet.
Okay, well, yeah, well, listen, you can probably safely assume that Isaac makes it out of that, but not okay.
Okay.
Right? So, Isaac wakes up in a frozen hellhole of a planet.
Right.
And I couldn't really glean a whole ton away from it. Apparently there's co-op in it now.
It's co-op through the whole game, yeah.
There's a secondary character, I think it was John Carver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's incredibly foul-mouthed.
And looks pretty badass.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's got like a more heavy-duty suit. If Isaac's supposed to be a an engineer, this guy Carver looks like he's like some sort of security or almost like a prison guard or something.
Yeah.
Or it might even be a suit built for surviving the fucking icy shitstorm they're in.
Yeah, I don't
think like a mine or something like that.
Yeah. But I was kind of worried at first because it really looked like it was very, very heavily action-oriented. And I kind of got that same. I got that same feeling I had with Dead Space 2 when they were showing that off. It looked more, you know, more shooty explosions than the first one was.
Yeah.
But then they showed off the 20-minute gameplay demo,
and that looks like good old fashioned Dead Space.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It does.
It's nice.
And everyone knows Dead Space is my favorite IP of this generation. My favorite new IP of this generation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I love Dead Space, and this looks like just another great step in the right direction.
I'm very relieved to hear that.
I guess we should say, too, that EA's press conference was pretty damn good as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and there was something else, too. I didn't see any more of their press conference, but New Castlevania.
Oh, yeah.
And even though it was just a CG movie, it was awesome.
Lords of Shadow 2.
Yep.
Great.
Love that logo.
Pretty cool. Zone of the Enders HD Collection looks pretty badass, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be any less interested in Metal Gear Rising.
I saw the new gameplay video from E3, and I'm sold. Yeah. I'm a convert, man.
Are you?
I'm all over
it. It looks good?
It looks awesome.
Okay, so it's got... what I was hoping for? The nice, pleasant melange of Platinum Games insanity and Kojima slower-paced awesome?
It's pretty much Platinum Games insanity with like hints of Metal Gear storyline.
Okay,
but it's more definitely more Platinum Games than Konami or Kojima Studios.
Okay, but it looks good.
It looks awesome, and the graphics have really come a long way, man.
It's more Vanquish than Bayonetta.
Yeah, definitely, okay. And the graphics are gorgeous. Pretty. Yeah, really, really pretty.
But they finally have a game.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm impressed, and I'm a buyer. I'm a definite.
Despite revenge gets revenge.
Yeah, despite that, I'm a day one purchaser now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm.
It looks good.
Yeah. Nice.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Lords of Shadow 2 looks like it has Alucard.
Ooh. That's exciting.
And the new Medal of Honor looks pretty kick-ass, too.
Nice.
Did it, was there any appearance from Spec Ops at E3?
No. But, I mean, it's right around the corner anyway. It's out next week, I think.
Man, that looks badass.
It looks really good. The demo was great. The demo was a lot of fun.
26th, I think.
Yeah, 26th or 23rd, something like that.
No, I think it's 26th.
23rd's a Saturday. So it's like the Saturday, or the Tuesday after.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm down. I'm picking that one up. That'll be my purchase for June.
Right on. Well, any other, like, closing words on E3, gentlemen? I know we've been ranting for a while.
Big improvement over the past couple of years.
Definitely. Yeah.
Nice to see a couple, you know, at least one of the major studios and a couple of the major publishers finally getting it through their head that what we want to see is games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about the hardware, it's not about the gimmicks. What sells your system is software, plain and simple.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I was sitting here 2 years ago recording Blast Processing post E3 with Dave and Eric, and I said, you know, they're going to wake up. The industry is going to wake up, and we're going to, like, in a few years, we're going to be out of this stupid casual hell that we're stuck in right now. And it has happened. It has emerged. You know, casual hell is over. The whole casual gaming and social gaming craze, while it exists, it's not part of core gaming anymore. It's not part of our culture anymore. It's been fired off into the sun where it belongs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fad, man. It was the toy rock.
And I said it, dude, I said it 3 years ago, I said it 2 years ago, I said it last year, and I was fucking right. Booyah.
On that note.
We got anything else to do tonight?
I don't think so.
I think that's it. I think that's it, guys. I really do.
No Blast Point, no Retro Rockets. I'm disappointed.
We'll get to that next week.
Okay.
When we return, same bat time, same bat channel.
Well, on that note, check us out on Facebook. Check us out on DVDverdict.com. Check us out in the forums. We got our own room there. We're on Twitter. What else are we on?
Shrooms?
Are we on iTunes? DVD Verdict Presents?
DVD Verdict Presents, right? On iTunes?
Yep. Bunch of great podcasts there, man.
Lots of good stuff.
Including They Came From the North. Sign up, look for it.
A gigantic episode of It Came From the North.
A 3 hour and 11 minute long opus dedicated to David Cronenberg.
There you go.
See if you can pinpoint the exact point when I fell asleep.
Oh, we heard you. Everybody heard you.
It was awesome.
Well, on that note, we will sign off, I guess, from myself, John, and Steve. And if there's anything we would like you to take away from this podcast, it is this.
God, I love being a turtle!
We out!